Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. This week we're going to learn about one of the organizations that's promoting the humane care of farm animals. But before we get into that, let me thank our sponsor for the Zimcast, and that's GrowMark, locally owned and globally strong. This past week when I attended the International Poultry Expo and also International Feed Expo, they're held together in Atlanta, Georgia, I met Adele Douglas. She is CEO of Humane Farm Animal Care. I spoke with her about the organization and what they're doing and why they're doing it, and we'll get to that in just a moment. I did want to say that one of the things that I learned in talking to Adele is that there are a number of these organizations, and each kind of trying to do somewhat the same thing, but with some differences. I did not talk to any others, but at least we'll learn about this one. You can find them at certifiedhumane.org. So let's find out about this particular organization, Humane Farm Animal Care. Here at the International Poultry Expo, I am visiting with Adele Douglas. She is the CEO for Humane Farm Animal Care, an organization that I have certainly been aware of. You can find them at certifiedhumane.org. And what I'd like to do, Adele, is better understand and have you explain a little bit about what's your purpose, your mission, and what you're trying to accomplish. So maybe we should just start there.
Okay. Some years ago, I was on several committees, animal welfare committees for different organizations. And in going around and looking at the agricultural practices at that time, I was an outsider looking in, and I saw practices that I thought that consumers would kind of be appalled at, like gestation stalls, you know, pigs not being able to move. And when I asked the, you know, producers, they would say to me, why do they have to move? And my reaction was, why don't they have to move? They move in nature. And the same thing with birds in cages, you know, stuffed in cages. And so I had talked to people at the RSPCA in Britain who had a program. They had a really good standards. They had a scientific committee, and they created a program that was similar. They created a program, and what I wound up doing was different. They had a program where they had standards, and they went out and they found producers that met the standards, and then they created a brand, the Freedom Food brand, and they sold product under that brand and competed in the marketplace. And I thought that if we were going to change and improve, you had to give everybody an opportunity. You can't be a competitor. So after seeing the program in the UK, I came back and talked to actually four animal scientists who I had worked with and had known over the years, and said, how about if we did something like this, like a certification program? And the issue was, you know, people say animal welfare, well, we take care of our animals. If they weren't raised right, they wouldn't produce. Because at the time, welfare was measured as production. If they produced and they lived, that was their welfare needs were taken care of. And we decided to measure welfare as a little more than that, as their behavioral needs being met, as well as whether they could just produce or not. And so we put our little committee together, and we looked at the RSPCA standards, and some of them we could use. I mean, this is the U.S., it was Great Britain, and so some things we had to adapt. They reviewed the literature. You know, we looked at the industry standards and what was good and what we felt needed to be changed, and we came up with standards. We found a few companies that were brave enough to want to try this, because there was a lot of peer pressure against anything like this, because the feeling was, well, if you do this, it makes us look inhumane. And it really wasn't about, we weren't trying to trash the industry. We were trying to say, if you do this, it's actually better. It's better for the animals, and in the end, it's better for the producer. You get it actually helps, and this is what we found, it actually helps animal agriculture. It helps our farmers. Our farmers get more money for their product. And so In the first year we had the program going, we had 143,000 animals raised under our standards. In 2010, we had 26.5 million. And so it's really coming along. We're a small nonprofit. Part of what makes our program a success are our inspectors. They are not, I know it's very popular to hire these auditing firms or, you know, to take someone who could, you know, work at Kmart and train them. We don't believe that. Our auditors are university background based who are very species knowledgeable. And then we train them on how to do an audit. And they, the farmers are very happy with that because no one goes on the farm that doesn't really know the animals. And there are two reasons for that. Because we're looking for systemic change. You know, the auditors know the animals. They can answer questions for the farmers. They don't have just a checklist. They're not there to do write tickets. They're not there to put the farmers out of business. And they're there to make some judgments because every farm is different. And even though there are engineering numbers, there's also a performance base. And if a farmer is meeting that base differently, they're knowledgeable enough to write up what they're doing differently and how that meets the standard. And then we can make a judgment when we get the reports back. So then at the end of the inspection, after it's all said and done, the inspector can sit down with the farmer and make suggestions because we also want to share knowledge. There's a lot of research done at universities that never gets to the farmer. And this is part of it, to be able to say, by the way, we found, other farmers do, this will help your bottom line, this will help the animals. And it's people, very few people leave the program when they come on.
Do these farmers come to you, or do you go proactively go out to try to talk to them?
Again, we're a very small nonprofit. Yeah. So this is how we go to them, is to come to shows like this. It's word of mouth. It's, you know, they hear about us, but, you know, we do a lot of press releases when farmers come on, and then they'll contact us. We're very transparent. They can go to our website. They can get the standards, applications, anything they want to know about the program, they can find
out.
Now,
is this every segment of animal
agriculture? Yes. We have beef, dairy, laying hens, broilers, turkeys, goats, young dairy beef or veal, and sheep. I said sheep and goats. Yeah. Everything. We don't have buffalo, we don't have ducks, we don't have rabbits, but pretty much everything else.
So how about, besides the farm side of this?
And slaughter.
How about on the non-farm side? You know, I know you're, as you told me before we started, you're not, organizationally, you're not advocating certain types of legislation or anything like this. But with the activist groups who are some... how do I say it, more active than others, let's say, how have you found their reaction to what you're trying to do? I mean, are they supportive?
Well, it's interesting. We have 35 humane organizations that endorse our program. We have some activist groups that hate our program and would like us to go away because some have an agenda of no animal use, and if we're solving a problem, they're not interested in that. Just like there are some commodity groups that no longer feel that we're a threat, and there are some that would like us to go away. So, you know, I always feel that we're doing something right because everybody attacks us, you know? But we also do the slaughter side. We work with the AMI. Certify the product. So it's from birth through slaughter, and we don't certify slaughter plants, but we audit the slaughter plant when the product is going through to make sure that plant meets those standards. And it's really important because it's also leverage. You know, if they're not, they can fix it, or then the producer will go to some other slaughter plant. I mean, there is some, you know, leverage involved. And part, that's an issue in this country. There's not enough slaughter plants, and they're, you know, few and far between. And I don't know if anybody wants to do something, that's the issue that they should be pressuring, you know, the USDA for. I mean, I know they've started with this mobile slaughter, but that's a small, you know, a small piece. But we don't lobby on legislation. We don't, you know, do issues because I started this program because I don't believe that legislation is an answer. Again, what works now, there could be something better later on. Once you pass a law, it's an act of Congress, it's a law. And if you something better comes along, you have to then go and change that law. I don't think that legislation is an answer. I think that you reward farmers for doing it right, and that's what we do. We market mm-hmm. their products, we promote their products, and again, it encourages animal agriculture and good farming. We have to do this in our country. I mean, now I'm going to sound like a, you know, an uber patriot here, but we're starting to import food from China. We are a food-producing country. We can't not produce food. I mean, I think for the future, that's a dangerous thing to do. We have to keep farmers in business. And this, if this helps them, rewards them, that's mm-hmm. what we should be doing.
So do you have success stories, like a participating farm who's been able to say what this has meant or done?
Well, in Missouri, mm-hmm. we have Newman Farm Pork. They have Berkshire Pork. And you should interview them, because one year, actually, after they were on the program a couple of years, Rita Newman called me and she said, "We love this label." And I said, "Well, thank you. That makes me feel good." They're wonderful people. I've been to the farm. And she said, "Because we got so many calls at Christmas time for hams all over the country." I said, "People wanted you to FedEx?" And she said, "Yes." I said, they were willing to pay FedEx prices to have you FedEx hams and stuff? And she said, "Yes." I was astounded, because FedEx isn't cheap. So, you know, I mean, so they are very happy, you know, with the certification. And I'm using Missouri, but there's a lot of stories like that, you know.
Wonderful.
That their business has really increased. So, I mean, Ayrshire Farm in Virginia, Northern Virginia, near where I live, you know, they had, when we launched from their they have a pub where they sell their products. People, and the owner still tells me, people from all over the country, when they're in the area, stop by and say, "Oh, we read about you, you know, there was an AP story. You know, we read about you 3 years ago, and we're here," and, you know, so yeah.
Well, I want to thank you very much. That's Adele Douglas, CEO for Humane Farm Animal Care, talking about the Certified Humane program that they put on, which you can find more about at certifiedhumane.org.
If you would like to hear interviews about the other organizations involved in this humane animal care business, let me know, and I can try to contact them and get their perspective on what they're doing and why they're different than Adele's organization. So that's the Zimcast for this week. I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.